I don't know if you were inside the locker room today. Probably if you're listening, you weren't. But all three of us on the Daily Flames Roundtable were Derek Wills, Will Nault, and Pat Steinberg. And the guy who had by far the most attention and the biggest scrum of microphones around him was Calgary's Derek Ryan. I think he deserves it. He had himself a great game, two-goal game, three-point game against the New Jersey Devils on Tuesday. But it's more than just that. He has been a very steady, effective and impressive player for the last number of months for this team, and he's going to be the focus of a few stories on the national networks today as we welcome you to our Daily Flames Roundtable. Willsie, the Flames are busy on free agency day. We know that they, on July 1st, or I guess it was technically July 2nd, they signed James Neal. We know the day before they signed Austin Zarnik and, of course, Derek Ryan. But of all Calgary's work in free agency specifically, I don't think there's any doubt. Derek Ryan is the guy who has fit and performed the best.
He's been terrific. And I mean, when they signed him to that contract, a lot of people wondered why the Flames paid him so much. Well, it wasn't out of the goodness of their hearts. It was because there was a long lineup of teams that wanted Derek Ryan. And now we know why. And it takes some guys a little bit longer than other guys to get acclimated to a new city and to a new team. And I do think that it took Ryan a little while to get comfortable in Calgary and with the Flames organization, but he has really settled in nicely. I think he's been excellent since the 9-day break came to an end, and he really is a jack of all trades. You can use him on the power play, you can use him on the penalty kill, obviously 5-on-5. Good defensively, he's been fantastic. Well, maybe not fantastic, he's been quite good offensively, especially in the second half of the season. You can put him out there when you need to win an important face-off. He's their best face-off man, so he has been an excellent signing for the Flames, and depth will win you a lot of games, especially down the stretch and in the playoffs. And you got to like the Flames' depth, in large part due to Derek Ryan right now.
Yeah, and I mean, I just continue to stress how important faceoffs are for this team and why Bill Peters has been so high on Derek Ryan for as long as he's coached him, because he is so good in the faceoff dot and can trust him in situations. Pat, if you were to ask Bill Peters, who he's putting in the game on a defensive zone draw down by a goal in a playoff game or up by a goal in a playoff game, I bet you it's Derek Ryan. And, you know, whether that's for the faceoff and to come off immediately on the breakout, I don't know. But I think it's gotten to a point where that's why he is on this team. That's why he has continued to be a very important piece to this team. And I also think, guys, as Derek talked about, depth is so important in the playoffs. And, you know, if he's playing like he is right now going into the postseason, that only certainly, you know, allows him to be better in the playoffs, because this is why you bring in guys like this. We talk about it so often. Your top guys saw each other off. Depth makes the difference, and we'll see if Derek Ryan can continue that. But it's cool to see he's getting the love, because he certainly deserves it, knowing how good he's been, especially, you know, essentially going back to the All-Star break. That fourth line has been this team's not best line, but certainly most consistent line.
Well, and the important thing with what we're seeing from Ryan is the word that you just used. I mean, he's been as consistent as they come over the last number of months. And you know, I think that it took a little bit of time for him to adjust to a couple of things. One, he needed to adjust to a new team and new surroundings. And two, to a slightly different role. He's playing, you know, averaging around 3 minutes less per game in Calgary than he was with Carolina. So he's a little further down a depth chart with a much deeper team. So it's a little bit of a different role that he's been playing. But now that he has adjusted to that and he's been with the same line mates for, you know, generally 100% of the time or pretty close to it over the last number of months, you can see him really starting to settle in and then start to show what made him such a coveted player by this team. He's smart, his understanding of the game is high, and he's able to go out there and a lot of times be better than the number three or number four center on the other side. So, yeah, the numbers are fine. The offense has been there, but it's more just what he does and how steady he plays and how he sets up the team for the next shift that comes after him. That's what I've really been impressed with Ryan, and I can't really see that stopping, because it's been a consistent theme over the last 2 or 3 months here.
Yeah, you guys keep coming back to the same word, consistent or consistency, because those are two great words to describe not only Derek Ryan, but his two line mates, primarily Andrew Mangiapane and almost always Garnet Hathaway. What's been the constant with those three guys? Work. They work. Yep. every single game, whether they're productive or not offensively, you know what you're going to get. Great work ethic. They skate. They get it on the forecheck. They create havoc. They make life miserable for the other team. And to your point, Pat, they set the table for their own team. They leave their line mates in a better spot because of their work, and they leave the other lines in a better spot because of the way they play the game. And sometimes they don't get a goal, assist, and a point, but what they do is set the table for the next line that comes on the ice or the one after that to get something going offensively for the Flames. And if you can change on the fly because you get a good forecheck going, which that Ryan line quite often does, then you can catch the other team tired, stuck in their own zone, and quite often that leads to scoring chances and to goals, even if that's not the line getting them.
He's Derek Wills. He's Will Knoll. My name is Pat Steinberg. This is the Daily Calgary Flames Roundtable on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Guys, we were talking about it, you know, in the locker room today, and certainly it's been a topic of conversation coming out of Tuesday. This Flames team has the ability to explode offensively at seemingly any time. And we dug up the stat today. The Flames have scored 5 in one period on 5 different occasions this year. No other team has done that more than twice. And there are a number of teams, more than half the league, hasn't even done it once this year. The Flames have done it 5 times. That is crazy to wrap your head around. But let me ask you this. Is this a nice weapon to have in your holster come the playoff time, knowing that things get really defensive and tight come the postseason? Is it a nice weapon to have? Or is it something they shouldn't be counting on come the playoffs, because we do talk about things being far tighter and lower scoring?
I think it's both. I mean, ideally, if you're going to score 5 goals, score 5 goals in the first period, not in the third period, because you have to come from behind to win a hockey game. I mean, that would really allow Bill Peters to roll 4 lines and roll 3 pairings and spread out the ice time a little bit more. You know, we've talked a lot about resting guys down the stretch to get them ready for the playoffs. One way you can rest guys, and the coach talked about this, is if you can grab an early lead, then you can spread the ice time out. And maybe your 4 centermen all play somewhere between 14 and 16 minutes. So there's different ways to rest guys, and that's certainly one of them. But, you know, the Flames do have the ability to come from behind to win hockey games. And you have to be able to win in different ways. Sometimes you're going to score first and never trail in a game, as they did during that 7-game stretch. Sometimes you're going to fall behind and have to battle back, as they've done so many times this season. The Flames come from behind to win for the 8th time this season when trailing through 2 periods of play the other night. They've done that more often than any team in the league. So regardless of what happens in games, the Flames believe they can win, whether they're ahead, even, or behind. And I think a big reason for that is that they know they have the ability to go off offensively, like they did scoring 6 goals in the third period the other night. Now, do you want to rely on that? Absolutely not. And you'd rather do it early in a game than late in the game, but they've shown that they can do it at any point in time in games this season.
Yeah, that's where I was going to go. It's like, okay, it's nice to have that as a little ace up your sleeve or a trick in your back pocket, but I don't know if that's something that guys this team should be relying on come the playoff time, especially because, and a lot of times we see it, you know, with some groups that believe their, you know, their ability to win a game or the ability to stay in a game is never lost. How often does that result in sometimes a slow start, a slow, you know, 15-minute first period, and all of a sudden you could be down 1 or 2 goals? And maybe it's completely untrue, but I would suggest that because sometimes, especially late in contests, the referees tend to put their whistles away. There's not enough, you know, there's not a ton of power play opportunities, not a ton of things really go on. I just don't know if you want to rely on continuing to come back in playoff games. You'd obviously love, in any situation, whether it's regular season or playoffs, to play from in front and to protect leads instead of chasing. Everybody will tell you that. And I just think it's so important come playoff time, because I believe, with all that being factored in, it's going to be extremely tough to come back in playoff games because you don't have things that continue to feed or fuel your momentum, such as, you know, special teams play or stuff like that.
That's fair.
And you're facing a higher level of competition in the playoffs than you are in the regular season.
Yeah, there's not a top 30-point gap usually.
Well, and you're playing the same team night in, night out. You're going up against, say it's Vegas in round one, okay? It's round one in Vegas.
And if you come from behind 2 times in a series, you think they're going to be like, oh, they'll just let Calgary go by again.
No, it's like, well, we lost to Vegas in round one, rather in game one. That was a really tough game. And now we're preparing to play Vegas again. And that was a hard-fought win, and now we've got, we're playing Vegas again. Like, it's just a different animal when we're talking about this type of stuff. So here's where I come in. I think it's nice to have, and I think that ability is good. I just don't know if the Flames will be able to draw their weapon in the postseason, if we want to stick with that analogy. And what I'm really curious about is, how do the Flames play when they go up against, whether it's round one, two, three, whatever, when they go up against and get into that type of hockey where it is tight, where it is hard fought, where it's all about structure? How do they play in that scenario, and how do they hang knowing that that's going to be the majority of how a series is played? I don't know the answer to that yet. I think that we saw some nice signs to it, Derek, during the 7-game win streak, because they, for the most part, played that brand of hockey against different opponents. But until we see it come the postseason, we don't know.
I think they absolutely have the ability to play that way, and I think they're going to have an easier time playing that way consistently when they're going up against a good team in a best-of-7 series. The Flames, and they're not the only team that does it, but they do play up and down to their competition, don't you think? Like, you look at the last two games against the Golden Knights. They lost one, they won one. They were really good in both of those games. But there have been some other games lately where they didn't have their A game, and maybe not even their B game, against non-playoff teams, because they know in the back of their minds they don't have to have their A game or their B game, and they're probably going to still win those games. But when they go up against a really good team, way more often than not this season, and it wasn't necessarily the case last season when they weren't as good, but this season, the Flames have brought it, and they've had their A game for most of those tough contests. So I believe that they can do it. And one of the reasons why the playoffs tend to be lower scoring than the regular season, coaches are so damn smart. So the more time you give them to prepare for a specific opponent, the better they're going to be, and the more ready their team is going to be. And that's why things get tighter in the playoffs. Coaches have all the time in the world to break down video and to figure out what it is that the other team's doing, and find a way to counter that. So, yeah, you're right. They're going to have to play a tighter brand of hockey moving forward. I think they can do it, and we'll find out down the stretch. They got some tough games coming up, especially that one against the Jets in Winnipeg on Saturday. You got the one against the Sharks in San Jose on the 31st. These are games you're probably going to have to win to finish first, and I believe the Flames will be up to the task. Whether or not you win them against good teams is something else.
Final topic on our Daily Flames Roundtable. He's Derek Wills. He's Will Nault. My name is Pat Steinberg. And I guess kind of dovetailing off that, speaking of which, the Flames continue to be what I like to call a high-event team on home ice. They are the number one scoring team on home ice in the NHL. They're averaging 4.2 goals per game here at home. They're also allowing 3.3 goals against per game, which is the second highest total or second worst total in the NHL in that regard. So, Derek, they score a lot on home ice. They also give up a lot on home ice. Not even necessarily a yes or no question, but just how do we react to that, knowing that there's only 7-8 home games remaining this season?
Well, it sounds like a bad thing for goaltenders and coaches, and a good thing for broadcasters and fans, doesn't it? I mean, has there been a better place to watch games this season in the National Hockey League than Scotiabank Saddledome here in Calgary? I don't think so. As you mentioned, the Flames are the highest scoring team in the league on home ice, and one of the best teams in the NHL on home ice this season when you look at wins and losses and points. So it's been a great place to watch games, and there have been a lot of back-and-forth battles, and the Flames have led some from start to finish. They've trailed in a bunch and have battled back like they did the other night, and going off for 6 goals in the third period was kind of the cherry on top of the cake as far as single periods go at the Dome this season. But they've been a ton of fun to watch at home, and you know they have the ability to play a tighter brand of defensive hockey because we've seen them do it on the road. And, you know, they're not the only team that, you know, at times can maybe try to put on a bit of a show for their fans, where on the road, it's more about just playing a structured brand of hockey. And if you win 2-1 or 3-2, that's great. At home, sometimes you're just a little bit looser, trying to be a bit more creative and to make a play that could end up on highlight reels. And once in a while that works offensively. Once in a while, it hurts you defensively and results in a scoring chance or a goal against. I've had a ton of fun watching them at home, and it's hard to argue with their success, isn't it?
Yeah, it sure is. And I think there's exactly, you know, something to be said to what you just talked about at the very end there, Derek, and the fact that I think a majority of teams, whether they admit it or not publicly, I think they play a little more loose at home. And I think it's part of that is because you're a little bit more comfortable. Obviously, you're sleeping in your own bed. There's a lot of things, and you play in that building 41 times a year. So there's a lot of familiarity with that building, right? Because you know the boards. You know the bounces. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of things that go on. You know the blind spots. You know how the crowd affects the puck. And there's a lot of things that go into, you know, playing. It's like the comfort of your own home, right? I mean, there's something to be said about that. And it's like when people go home from work, do you think they keep their jeans on or do they throw sweats on? I mean, that's the way people are. And when you're playing in a game on your home ice, you tend to relax a little bit. And I think, as Derek talked about, that can lead you to be a little bit more lax defensively and give up grade A chances. And I think that's why you're seeing it in the goaltender stats, Pat. Can that continue in the playoffs? I don't think so.
Yeah. Well, and that's the crazy thing, Derek. We were talking about it from a David Rittich standpoint today in terms of home and road splits, right? And you go and you take a look at the way that these two guys, both Rittich and Smith, have played at home. Well, David Rittich, the record's great, but he's got a 352 goals against, 876 save percentage on home ice. He's 204, 933 on the road, which is a huge, huge disparity. Now, it's not quite as big, but it's still a pretty big split for Mike Smith, too. At home, 302, 884, so only slightly better than Rittich. And on the road, 276, 908. So I think the stats in both goaltenders would flesh out how different their game has been on the road as opposed to at home.
And how much of it is their game being different? And how much of it is the game of the forwards and defensemen in front of them being different? I think that's the question you really have to answer.
And I think it's more the latter as opposed to the former, to be perfectly honest with you.
I agree with you. That's exactly where I was going to go. I do think that that's played a huge role in it. So can the Flames tighten up defensively at home? I absolutely think that they can. And I think that they're going to have to once they get to the playoffs. And I'm sure it's a message that Bill Peters has tried to convey to his team until he's red in the face, blue in the face. And, you know, the team... It's hard to maybe receive that message when you have as much success as the Flames have had this season. We talked about it during the month of January, especially at the end of the month. They were 9-1-1, despite really not playing their best hockey on a consistent basis. They had a pretty easy schedule in the month of January and did take advantage of it. But Bill Peters kept telling his players, listen, guys, I know we keep winning hockey games here, but we have to be better. I'm not sure they were really listening until they started to lose some games. And then their ears were open and their minds were open. And the Flames started playing tighter defensively. And even though they maybe didn't have the same success wins and loss wise, I think gradually they've been trending in the right direction as far as playing the right way when games get tighter and games get harder to win. So I'm sure that Bill Peters will continue to tell the guys they have to be tighter defensively at home. And you hope they listen down the stretch, because that certainly will be the case come the playoffs. Although, hey, would any of us complain if the Flames were winning 6-5 as opposed to 2-1? I know I won't, as much as the goaltenders and coaches won't like it.
As long as the result's the right way, I'm sure that
even
the coaching staff would probably be able to wrap their head around it. All right, Wilsey, we will hook up with you again tomorrow at the Saddle Dome. It's game day against the New York Rangers. Have yourself a wonderful rest of your Thursday.
All right, good night, guys. We'll see you tomorrow.